So I'm going to just sort of go back from one to the other, and I'm going to ask Sharon, why don't you start?
Yes.
Why you got essential oils in the first place, and the major benefits that you have seen for people as a result of working with essential oils for quite some time.
Okay, I'd be happy to. Dennis, I'll start off by saying that my first introduction to ormus was not in the form that we usually think of ormus. My first introduction was blue-green algae. Then my second introduction to ormus came from, effective microorganisms. My third introduction to ormus came from essential oils. It was only a year and a half after I was introduced to essential oils that I found ormus. Actually, I'd heard of it, but I hadn't actually experienced it prior to 2000. With the essential oils in approximately 1998, and I had had undiagnosed Lyme's disease, and it had gone kind of low key. I never had the paralysis and things like that, but I did have a great deal of inflammation. So basically, at age approximately, how old was I? Mid-30s, I had arthritis. Again, I'm not very good at going to the doctor, but I did have all the typical signs. It wasn't deformative, or at least it hadn't progressed to that part, that place to, that it was deforming. And a friend of mine back east sent me Young Living oils, and she sent me about eight or nine different individual oils, and I started using them, and I noticed immediately the energy rushing through my body, communicating with my cells, and the formula that I created with the oils that she sent me is a formula that I still recommend to people, and I still will use on occasion, and I used the essential oils twice a day pretty steadily for a year before I could say that my Lyme's disease or my arthritis was gone. And that was my introduction. I think I was so enamored and enthralled about essential oils that's what led me to start a little upstart business selling them.
And so what, for that particular arthritis and Lyme disease, what oils did you use?
I used lemongrass, clove, ginger, birch. I used basil. How many is that? Lemongrass, clove, birch, basil. And right now that's all I'm coming up with. I don't remember all of them, but these oils, and I have sent to the list the link to the little essential oil digest that I wrote. You can go through that digest and identify any essential oils that have anti-inflammatory, analgesic, or let's see, there's one other word, and I'm not thinking of it, properties to it, and you can identify which oils might be ideal for things like arthritis, inflammation. Cosmetic, analgesic, and anti-inflammatories are the three things that you would look for in order to create a formula for pain.
Now, let me just say at this point that for those of you that aren't really familiar with this area, in fact, I've posted a couple of times, you want to have pen and paper and take good notes, because some of the stuff you're going to hear this morning, or this afternoon for you guys, who are just like a day behind, most of you, take good notes, because you want to capitalize on the stuff you're going to learn today, yeah? So carry on, Sharon. Tell us, have you progressed from essential oils to the ormus community?
It was a complete, it wasn't a direct association. It was only after I found Ormus did I begin making those connections. I began understanding, getting such a large, significant impact, energetic impact from Ormus. Then I began realizing that I had felt these things before, had felt this energy before. And then my enthusiasm just led me and guided me into using Ormus in non-traditional, if we can call Ormus use traditional, non-traditional ways. That's one of the things that I love about Melanie and so many, many other people in our community now. They are finding all different ways to use Ormus, all different ways to create Ormus, or to not create it, but, you know, draw it and concentrate it and you know, bring it into form that is usable. Personally, I think that topical, now there's a lot of things that you have to, that really, you know, you do so much better if you consume things, but the use of topicals is misunderstood, grossly, in my opinion, an oversight, a gross oversight in much of our living. It comes from, if I can take a couple more minutes here, it comes from the fact that traditionally in our society, back in the 30s, as I understand it, the FDA determined, science determined, that the skin was a barrier. And because the skin was a barrier, controls over what we put on this barrier were very, very lax. Nowadays, we haven't actually totally upgraded that premise that skin is a barrier and that things do not, you know, go into the skin. We on one side of the fence, we make patches, such as nicotine patches and estrogen patches and different ways of getting drugs and chemicals into the body through topicals. And then the other way, we do some heinous things with our soaps and things that we put on our skin, such as the antibacterial properties of things. I mean, some of those chemicals that go in those antibacterial soaps and skin lotions and things are very, very bad for ourselves. So one of the nice things about essential oils is if you are finding something useful, maybe you have women, even men, progesterone cream. Maybe you have something else that you want to get into your body. You can use essential oils. If you can't actually mix it, and I don't recommend mixing it with everything, mixing it into your ointment, but if you can't do that, or if you're concerned about doing that, apply your essential oil directly on the area that you want to use your topical, and then put your topical on top, and it will transport whatever is there with it down into the deeper layers, and it'll get it into your bloodstream, into the nerves, and it will really make it, facilitate it so that it can get out into throughout your body. And especially if you can use it in the areas, let's say you've got a kidney problem, you can use a topical directly over your kidney to get it into the kidneys area. So I think I digressed. You had said, how did I make the step from essential oils to Ormus? One of the nice things about getting older is that you find that you wind up making circles in your life. And even though there wasn't a straight line between Ormus and essential oils and Ormus and the other things that I have mentioned, I find the similarities. I find the common denominators. And it makes me able to look at my life, the history of my life, in a poetic way, feeling that there is this well-roundedness, you know, to my experiences. And that's a period.
Is that because you put on weight? just being cheeky. So listen,
yes, and if you were close enough, I'd touch you.
You mentioned putting essential oils on kidneys. What kind of essential oils would you put on kidneys and why?
Kidneys are an organ, I think, that we need to really spend more loving attention on. We all of us abuse our kidneys, and kidneys have a more definite lifespan than any of the other organs. You can supposedly, renew and revive most of your other organs. Kidneys need, they're sensitive to inflammatories, they're sensitive to bacteria, they're sensitive to, acid conditions. They're really important for our minerals and for maintaining, cleaning the blood. The essential oils, again, I have to refer people to this guide. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to find that and give you that. See, I can't think and I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but I'm looking for the essential oil. Okay, it's on the Subtle Energy site. Here it is, guys. If you have a pen and paper, if not, write to any of the lists and I'll respond, especially if the topic you specify on the subject line. But it's subtleenergies.com/ormus/TW, and that's all lowercase, /E for essential, O for oils, .htm. This will take you to, and I'm going to say that one more time, /ormus/TW/E for essential, and O for oils. Now those are fully written out words, ESSENTIALOILES.html. I'm sorry, HTM. And that's going to take you to the digest. Now, what you do when you get there is there's plenty of information available for people to find out which essential oils are good for their kidneys. Personally, my personal favorite for kidneys is cypress. And everybody's going to have their favorites. But I've used cypress, and it's a kind of a gentle one. So it's some of them are very harsh. You want to kind of use those with caution, and don't ever, if you don't know much about essential oils, don't ever recommend for general use essential oils with phenols. And I'm going to say this because essential oils like clove and cinnamon are almost 100%, but not quite, maybe around 70 to 80% phenols. Phenols are the chemical that detoxifies the body. It's very hard on the liver. Cats cannot handle the phenols that come from essential oils because cats are 100% when you eat meat? Carnivores. They're 100%, yes, thank you. They're 100% carnivores, and a lot of dogs and even children and elderly people and people who have had, even if they're not currently ill right now, who have had very serious illnesses, cannot handle very many phenols. They are just simply too toxic. So when you go looking for essential oils, I have in that guide written down all of the, and I don't know all of the chemicals for every essential oil, but I do know, I have a pretty good sense of three groups of chemicals, the sesquiterpenes, monoterpenes, and the phenols. The essential oils that you want to handle with some care would be anything with phenols. And you can go through that list and find them. I didn't identify whether cypress is, low in phenols, and sure enough, it is. The monoterpenes is inside, and any essential oil with monoterpenes in it, that is a regeneration. Those chemicals help the body to regenerate. Even though that particular essential oil, which I'm speaking of, is cypress, does not have any history or any you know, usage to regenerate tissues or regenerate cells. Because it has monoterpenes, it would have that kind of propensity. I see here that it does mention wounds. It's good for wounds. So then that implies that it aids the immune system, it aids in the healing, and that also implies regeneration.
Rather than elimination, as the, was it sesquiterpenes?
Yes. Yeah. Regeneration would be a good way of referring to that, yes.
So Sarah, what can you tell us about a couple of outstanding results you've seen that people get with essential oils?
One was with the humble and yet so profound fruit oil. And this young woman.
Say that again.
Yes, grapefruit. One story that I'm going to tell is only about grapefruit. Now, of all of the essential oils, the citrus are the easiest. You know, you can give it to children, you can consume them, you can, I don't mean use them, you know, with any, without discretion, but they are certainly the safest essential oil. And so if you can get a significant response from a citrus oil, it is just, to me, it just is mind-boggling why we aren't using more of these for our home medicine cabinet. But this one lady, she had a lymph node that was in her groin that kept getting built up with fluid. And she had it surgically drained, and then it built up again, and she said that she was going to have to, they were going to go in and take that lymph node out. And I said, well, before you do that, why don't you take this essential oil and apply, like, you know, four drops onto that area. And so she walked away. I was at doing a health fair at the time. And I said, come back before you leave and tell me how it worked out for you. And less than an hour, she came back. She says the lymph node had completely gone away, that it drained it completely in that hour. It saved that woman's surgery. I tried putting...
I love stories like that.
I do, too. It's inspiring, huh?
Really?
Have you used it for massage?
I do. As a matter of fact, I'm not a Young Living advocate, so I'm not trying to either support Young Living or knock them down. And I appreciate the fact that, yeah, if you don't know, Young Living is a multi-level marketing company that really brought essential oils to the foreground. And I think it's been around for 15 years probably, I'm estimating. And that's how I got introduced to essential oils. They developed something they call raindrop therapy. And it's a beautiful name for a beautiful technique. And it works on almost anyone. And it is, if you are a massage therapist or you have any, you know, inclination to do body work, maybe it's just on your loved one, what you do is you drop anywhere from 3 to 7 drops of an essential oil along your partner's spine. And I make sure that I get at least one drop up here at the ridge. I forgot what that's called now, but up at the top of the head where the neck and skull meet. And don't get it too close to the tailbone, because if they fall down, essential oils are very painful on delicate tissue. So you don't want it escaping down into the private areas. Then I use my thumbs to kind of like butterfly the essential oil up and down the spine. And then I fan the palms of my hands out in order to move those essential oils out from the spine into the channels of the back muscles. And I pick anywhere from 3 to 7 essential oils, and I always put them in line with the lightest. Maybe lavender would be a light one. The lightest scents first, and I end with the heavier ones. Let's say either, you know, clove, ginger, you know, lemongrass is, you know, in brings a lot of verve in people. Some people use oregano, that's a hot oil, so you have to be careful. Cinnamon is a hot oil, you have to be careful. So use less of those. And so I put them on one oil at a time, and going through this process, running the essential oil with my thumbs up and down the spine, and then fanning it with the palms of my hand out like butterfly strokes, and going through the whole sequence. And then when you're all done with your application, you can then maybe add some carrier oil or massage oil and do a full back rub. Or you don't have to. You can just lay a blanket over your friend, a towel at least over the back, and give them about 5 to 10 minutes because it'll begin to heat up then. And most people feel like they just had some very profound, maybe deep emotional work. It brings vibrations up that will both make you feel happier. I've seen people break down and cry. I've had people tell me that they had more benefit from that as an emotional release than they did going to counseling. So it's another wonderful way that anybody can utilize essential oils.
That's really neat.
Anything else?
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's great.
My pleasure.
And yeah. it just reminded me of the effect I had when I first experienced Ormus and the essential oil mixture that Melanie made up, and it took me into a really deep state. I mean, and it wasn't this nice deep state, but it was a deep state. And so, Melanie, why don't you talk about how you came across essential oils and decided to mix them with oil?
What was the last sentence you said?
Tell us how you progressed down that track.
Okay. Well, I started making lotions and shampoos and conditioners and soaps and all of those products many years ago when I was living in Vancouver. And I was just trying to work with natural products that weren't toxic, as Sharon brought up. So much of the stuff that we buy in the store, the soaps, have toxins in them. And as we know, the body absorbs all that. As if we were to eat or drink. I mean, that's the way I feel. I feel like the body really is really powerful in terms of absorption. Is that right, Sharon? Would you say? Would you agree?
Yes, it is. It has to do with the how the size of the molecules. But yes, we're getting into nanotechnology now, and even the what we thought of as safe sunscreens, such as the using titanium dioxide or something, they're using nano sized, and it changes everything that we think and that we know, we thought we knew about, you know, the ability of the skin. So yes, I agree. We have to be more diligent than we have been in the past.
Yes. So I started mixing the essential oils in with the products that I was making, and I just make them, and as I still do, just for friends and family or as gifts to people. But it was really strange, is whenever I would give these lotions away, people just sort of almost seemed to have a spiritual experience with them, and they'd track me down and ask me for more, you know, to make more and to give more. And that was many years ago, and I kind of got away from it because I was living in Asia and it was hard for me to get the ingredients that I needed to make them. But I started taking Ormus just last summer in Thailand, actually, and I just had just completely unbelievable effects from it from day one, some good, some bad. But the very first thing that happened is I've always had serious hypoglycemia, like not always, but I would say maybe 7-8 years, and I was really struggling with it at the time. And I would wake up in the morning with my blood glucose fasting level so low, and I would just be shaking, and I couldn't hardly see. My vision would be blurry. And when I originally took Ormus, it wasn't for that. I just took it. Actually, somebody gave it to me to help me dream better, to help me remember my dreams. So I wasn't really expecting any kind of major health changes. And I would say within 2 days of taking Ormus, my hypoglycemia was gone, and I haven't had any hypoglycemia effects since then. And that was really just, to me, that's unbelievable, you know, that it can have that kind of effect. And then the other thing that happened so immediately was that my skin completely changed. I always had very fair skin and a lot of freckles, and I couldn't go out in the sun because I would burn and just get more freckles. And when I started taking Ormus, I was actually island hopping in Thailand on a yacht for 10 days. So I was in the sun all the time, and I wasn't getting freckles. And it was like, my freckles just disappeared, and I could be in the sun as much as I wanted.
Wow.
And also my skin regenerated. I had a lot of acne pock marks, and all of those disappeared. And it seemed everybody was thinking that I'd lost like 10 years when I came back from Thailand. Everybody said I looked 10 years younger. So I became fascinated with this Ormus. I just was just absolutely fascinated. But the problem was when I got back from Thailand, I was living in Seoul, which is a major city. And taking Ormus on a yacht for the first 10 days of Ormus is really ideal because some people, at least for me, I got kind of really, really spacey, and I had a hard time staying in my body. I wanted to go into an outer body experience. I couldn't keep my soul in my body. But
sure
being on the ocean.
Make sure somebody else is driving the yacht.
Yeah. Well, it was really nice because I could just jump in the beautiful ocean every time I'd get kind of ungrounded. But when I went back into Seoul, and I went right back into the business world, and I was like an alien dropped into Seoul from outer space. I really felt like I didn't understand human beings. I didn't understand human beings. I couldn't understand this desire for money, that it seemed as if the whole world, or at least Seoul in my world, revolved around chasing money.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem like there was any, it seemed like the magnet of life, what we were all magnetized toward, was to chase money. And I couldn't stand, when people would talk, it would even hurt my ears. I just couldn't understand humans, and that got me actually quite scared, because I really wasn't functional in my own world anymore. And
help you get through that?
No, I mean, it was the Ormus that precipitated this. I was taking a lot of Ormus, and though I was having, you know, like I said, I was having my hypoglycemia disappeared and my skin was regenerating and I was looking so young, I also wasn't functional, though. And so I continued to take the Ormus because of the physical benefits I had.
You going to tell us how you became a soul survivor?
Oh, I didn't. I wasn't. I had to leave. I wasn't a soul survivor. But the thing is I couldn't really contribute to people around me. And then I finally realized I just wanted to give everybody a massage because I wanted to feel their energy. So I started making up these Ormus massage oils. I also wanted to share the Ormus, share the love. And I mix essential oils in and give people massages, and it was really interesting to both give a massage and to watch the effects on people. One thing is when I was taking Ormus and giving a massage with Ormus oils, I could really feel into the people. And there were some negative things. They'd start dumping on me. You know, I'd feel all their any kind of sickness or negativity or whatever toxins were stored in their body. It was as if it was being dumped into me. And I even had physical reactions. But one time I felt that somebody was full of a lot of bad past emotions, but I felt also the person's body was filled up with, I would say it felt like the way I feel when I've been around computers too long. Like I felt like their body was full of like EMF frequencies. like just the kind of negative frequency.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt it, the person was dumping it all into me. And then the next morning I woke up and my face was swollen like a monster. Yeah, eyes, lips, my eyes were almost shut.
So did you have some good things that happened with that?
Like I said, the reason I kept taking
you,
yeah, the physical effects, of course, was what kind of kept me going, because I realized there was really something to this Ormus, and probably the problem was with me, something I was doing wrong, because I couldn't have had such amazing physical changes if there wasn't something really good in it. And I just now finally realized what I was doing wrong, and it was that my own vibe was so low. I was living such a toxic life in a toxic environment. And now I can take a lot of Ormus and not have all these effects because my vibe is quite high. And I don't know if you've ever seen this before, Barry, and this is the one thing I wanted to ask you about, is a lot of people who claim that they're having negative effects with Ormus. Do you feel, like I felt like the Ormus was vibrating so high and I was vibrating so low, and that's why I was experiencing a lot of negative reactions, even though I was having positive physical changes.
Well,
but now that I've raised my vibe through my lifestyle changes, I don't have any problem with Ormus, and I experience nothing but positive benefits.
I always compare it to having some new circuits. And as you get used to using those new circuits, there'll be some disorientation.
Mm.
And as you get better and better at using, riding a bicycle. You know, at first, when you ride a bicycle, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
It's one wreck after another until you know how to keep your balance, until it gets sort of burned into your brain, you know. And I think that Ormus kind of is like that. If you started out, though, in a good place, and that's,
mm-hmm.
that's highly recommend it, but then you went to a not so good place for it and started, you know, falling off the bicycle, you know,
mm-hmm.
but you kept getting back on, so that I think that that's and now you know how to ride the bike.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to fall off.
Well, I'll just talk a little bit more about the products I made and give you some recipes that seem to be quite effective and mm-hmm. With Ormus, the Ormus oils, and let you know of some of the results that people had. As I mentioned, I was giving massages to people, and again, one of my kind of hidden purposes was also to share the Ormus with them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are just, as you may know, they're afraid to try it for some reason. And that's okay, but I couldn't help but just slip a little bit in if I could with the people I thought who could benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not ethical, I don't know. But, yeah, I would give people massages, and I wouldn't get to be able to give them massages every day, but from time to time, maybe 3 times a week, I could give them a little massage. And they, with the very little oil that I was giving them, were having unbelievable changes in their skin. But they didn't know why. And I kind of would think it was funny as they would say, they would share with me, God, did you notice what happened to me over the weekend? They would say, my wrinkles disappeared. it's a bizarre thing for someone to say. And, yeah, actually they were experiencing changes. And people who were broken out, they weren't breaking out anymore. And I've really watched people lose many, many years of age within a week's time.
Wow.
And I don't understand that. Do you, Barry?
topical application or?
Yeah, just topical.
Wow.
And the other thing I noticed is that people who would be in the office with us who I wasn't giving massages would also experience great changes in their skin. So they weren't receiving any Ormus, but I was taking a lot of it, and I was putting it on other people, and thus it was in the office. And I would see other people in the office have huge changes in their skin.
Wow.
So they seemed to be picking it up from us, just from being in the room with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you mentioned about several of the things you mentioned, other people have mentioned as well, and I think they're very significant. The ability to not sunburn as easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a very significant improvement, and it's been consistently mentioned by a lot of people over time that they notice that they don't, it isn't easy to sunburn. Another thing that I've noticed
is, that.
Yeah.
I no longer sunburn either.
Yeah. And I've also noticed that I don't, my when I suntan, it doesn't seem to go away in the winter.
Yeah.
As much as it used to. Has anybody else?
Yeah, that's my experience too.
Yeah.
And
skin blemishes and stuff like that. Absolutely. And people tell me I have the skin of a 30-year-old. You know. I hope I don't have to give it back.
So I contacted Seek Verda. And I asked him, told him I was mixing his Ormus with oils. And I asked him what oils I should use. And he mentioned three oils. He said Ormus, and maybe Barry, you can comment on this. He said that Ormus degrades some oils. And the only oil he would mix it with would be olive oil, coconut oil, and grapeseed oil.
Mm-hmm. Those are good oils. And sesame oil seems to work okay, too. Once you've done something with olive oil doesn't hold up very long, but if you do it and use it right away, I think it works really great.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
You're saying that olive oil, after it's been infused with the Ormus salt, does not hold up well?
Doesn't hold up as well as grapeseed oil.
I didn't know that either. I don't know where I didn't know that where'd that information come from.
Oh, just observation. I've just been using them for a long time, and the olive oil gets rancid quicker than the grapeseed oil, and the grapeseed oil seems to absorb into the skin a little bit better. It doesn't feel greasy for as long, and that's often handy, you know, when topical application, massage, whatever. Yeah. So I like, my favorite is grapeseed oil, although the coconut oil is really good too, because it's a heavier solid, and it'll be solid until you apply it.
Yeah, I've used coconut oil for very successfully in making ointments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you make your ointments, Melanie?
Okay. Well, it started off kind of not so unusual, and it's become more and more unusual by the day.
Oh.
I started off just simply taking the oil and putting some essential oils in and just putting the Ormus, very simple. And then somebody in the office who was having really positive effects from my massages, in terms of skin and overall health, asked if I could make an oil for his rash. He had a rash all over his body, and it was really serious and painful. So I went and mixed up, I believe it was coconut oil, a skin formula. I went to somebody who does aromatherapy, and she mixed up a formula for skin of various essential oils that were good for skin. And then I put Ormus in it. I actually put two kinds of Ormus. I mixed the trap water, Thomas Geckler's trap water, with a little bit of the Ormus made by Joe Lello. Is that how I pronounce his name? Lello?
Yeah.
From Atlantis Alchemy. Yeah. So I put in the two Ormus, and he put the ointment on his skin, and it was gone within a day. Completely.
Wow.
The rash was completely gone, and it hasn't returned.
So that was a rash, unknown origin, huh? We didn't know what kind of rash it was.
No.
Okay.
And I'm not a health practitioner at all, so I was just playing. I put a lot of intent in it, too, that the rash would clear up and that it would be very good for his skin. And it was.
Can I ask you, Melanie, can I ask you a kind of on a practical note, how do you get a liquid water-based Ormus product into an ointment without, how do you get them to, do they emulsify? What do you do to
I do nothing, I just put it in. You know, I don't do anything special. Except with coconut oil, I put it under the bottle of coconut oil under the hot water. And then it you know, the oil becomes oily. You know, if you've seen coconut oil, it's usually if it's in a cold area or not a warm area.
Okay.
It's a solid, semi-solid.
All right. So when you mix them, do you make on individual applications, or do you make them for, like, you know, make enough so that you can use it for a month?
I make it so that I could use it for a month, but now because of my negative experiences that I had, that this oil was very, very powerful. And, you know, people could, you know, put it on all day, and then they go home and they would give a massage to their wife, and then the wife would give a massage to her husband, and they would just use it like they would use any massage oil. And people would start to have an effect as if they took an overdose they took too much Ormus. And that's what happened to me. As I was giving so many massages to people and experimenting with all the oils, I became more and more ungrounded until I became completely out there.
I remember a time when you went through extraordinary sensitivity to all the electromagnetic fields as a result of that as well. And,
what was the first thing about what did you say about electromagnetic fields? I didn't hear the first part of your sentence.
What happened from your report to me was your sensitivity to all electromagnetic fields was almost like, and almost does not like electromagnetic fields, and almost like you were so almostly affected that you became sensitive to electromagnetic fields and it disturbed your functioning.
Yes, I mean,
isn't that true?
I couldn't use a cell phone anymore. I couldn't be in front of computers. I couldn't go into areas where there were Wi-Fi, and I finally had to leave Seoul because it's EMF heaven. Haven. It's everywhere. Yeah.
But I don't think you fully finished answering the question about that lady just asked about how the oils and water tend to separate. And so what do you do? Do you just shake them before application?
I just shake it. Yeah, I have no special method. I just shake it. But I believe, I don't know.
You're literally applying a mix of oil and water.
Yeah, I mean, I shake it hard, and then I'm just, applying the mix.
Okay, good. Well, I was always reluctant to do that, but this is a whole new thing. I think that's a very good idea. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That's true. That when I put the Ormus Ormus-rich salt in with the essential oils, Barry's original mixture recipe, it would infuse the essential oil with the energy of the Ormus. I don't know how it did it. It didn't actually, the salt, it never dissolved.
Right.
So I can imagine using, which I haven't done, but I'm going to, as soon as we get off this call, I'm going to do it. I haven't used a liquid Ormus product in the essential oil. So I'm going to add that to the formulas that I've already created. Barry, you wanted to share with everyone the formula that you created. Is this a good time to interject?
You bet. It's a very good time. I started out, about 98 or something like that, my friend Jim was talking about how you could put a pulsed magnetic field under the Ormus. This is Ormus that he was making either from metal or from rock source material, and it would go into the air, and you could condense it, and it would be an oil. It would literally turn into an oil. And then Kevin in Australia noticed that you could use ether to separate the Ormus oil from the rest of the Ormus in trap water. In other words, there was a component of that trap water.
Them?
Pardon?
use what to separate them?
Ether. Diethyl ether.
Ether. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
And he would collect this oil off the top of the trap water, and I mean, with the ether, he'd make, you know, oil, water and ether don't mix. The ether will float on top of the water. So you drop the water out from under it with a separatory funnel, and you've got ether mixed with whatever it got from the water. You let the ether evaporate away, and you're left with an oil. And the oil tastes like, as I put it in a video, I mean, it's kind of an, you know, a general, generic, oily taste. And in some cases, it can taste quite sweet. Well, Jim noticed several different oil relationships. He would get an oil on the inside of his windows, windshields, when he was breathing in a car for a while after his heavy exposure to the Ormus in 1989. And so I figured, well, there's got to be some oil relationship, so I'm going to take some of the Ormus that he made, which was a kind of a reddish-brown, very concentrated material called HR, or hot rocks, and shake it up really good with oil, and then let the brown stuff go out and just use the oil. And I did, you know, and it really had a very profound feel to it. At the time, I was I was swapping massages with a friend, and we would, you know, just do almost a full body massage, basically, with this oil, and it was just practically an ecstatic experience. It was, I mean, it's like that's probably the closest that I've come to a Kundalini awakening experience, just having my whole body covered with this oil. Mm. And so I knew that it was pretty profound stuff. And that,
I want some.
That was about the time. That was about the time when I started going up to Washington State two or three times in a row and showed Sharon how to make the oil and to work with the oil and the trap and so on.
Barry, you're coming in very softly at times.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was when I started working, showing Sharon how to do it, and
okay.
Working with her with it.
What was the material, though? I didn't hear what the material was. You said it was a brown material?
It was a sort of a reddish-brown liquid at about pH 4, and it was, I mean, so it's slightly acidic. Tastes like, you know, vinegar or something. And it would have an oily sheen on the top surface. So I'd mix it with oil and use it for, you know, topical applications and sometimes even for ingestion. But I'm sure that the effect was more pronounced when I used it topically. And I think
and
it really...
What was the liquid, though? What was it made out of? This was something from the trap water?
No, it was made from rock source material using something called the HR method, which is on my website. And
okay.
Yeah. It,
so we can find the directions of how to make it?
Yes and no. Send me an email. The method for making it is a little bit dangerous, so I don't publicize how to do the HR method. But it's, you know, it's safer than a sodium burn, for example. And it probably depended to a large extent on the source rock that we were using. So that's one thing that, you know, if somebody really is serious and wants to make some wants to convert some rock into this material and has some powdered rock, I'll share the method, sure.
What if, have you thought about putting that method on your site somewhere so that people only get to it? Because you thought about putting it on your the description on your site somewhere that people can only get to it because when they ask you.
It's on my website. You just have to have either the CD that I sell or me tell you how to get to it.
Oh, very good. Well, that's the first ormus that I experienced. I had that was the hot rocks, and Jim no longer makes it or provides it, but it was really good ormus. Every ormus seems so different. It's really hard to get a handle on the so many different kinds of ormus.
Indeed, yeah.
But I'm glad.
Did you get my four different kinds yet, Sharon? Did you get my four different batches yet?
You are, and I have to tell you, Dennis, you make frightening ormus. Frightening. I opened it, and it just about knocked me over. And I'm letting my hands feel the energy go over the bottles now. A precursor here, I was just touching them, handling them. There are two that just want to knock me out and two that are okay. One of them that wants to knock me out is the one that you did at the eclipse. And I can't remember because
That was a strong ormus, the eclipse ormus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it sure was, Dennis. You were right on the money with that one. And I think you have a moral obligation here to really teach this to people. And if I can help it, we're gonna get Barry down to Australia. And I think what you need to do is you guys can take the wind out of each other. It just would be overpowering to have, you know, all of this going on at once. But after Barry leaves, then you come along a month later and show these people how to empower their ormus. Empowering the ormus, as far as I'm concerned, is the most fascinating and interesting and probably the most important thing that alchemists can do, even home alchemists. I know that when I handle my essential oils, that they have spoken to me. They have changed my life. They have made me made so many parts of my life whole again and joyful. And so it doesn't matter, what kind of mood. I appreciate them. I appreciate them at the cellular level, and I know that I infuse a great deal of love and appreciation into my ormus. I mean, into my essential oils, and that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to do that when we make our own ormus. Because your ormus is, I'm raving. I'm sorry. I'm carrying on too much, but it is so wonderful. You have to teach people how to do this. Okay. End of sentence.
That could lead me into some of my specific recipes in which I could tell you a little bit about the things I put in the oils now. And some of it is about empowerment and intention and that I did learn from Dennis. So is this a good time for me to share for that? Well, first of all, I wanted to mention, I made a little leap from oils to I discovered the wonderful benefits of sea salt and sea salt scrubs and sea salt baths. And then I decided to see if I could make some scrubs with ormus. And at that time, when I saw Barry's video that he had made with somebody, I think that works with David Wolf, about the magnet blender, where you put the magnet. So I thought, oh, I can make these great facial scrubs or body scrubs or exfoliants by putting ingredients that have a lot of ormus in it, such as grape seeds, put a little coconut oil, aloe, ormus, salt, trap water, pomegranates. Are pomegranates high in ormus?
We don't know.
Yes, I think so.
So I put pomegranates in there. So that's just anything. I just throw anything in the blender, and I had this, I made this magnet blender. Maybe Barry can explain how to make it and what that does. And I'd mix it up, and boy, it made something so powerful that I completely went over the edge at that point. But I was also taking I was really over experimenting because I was making so many scrubs and oils, and I was trying everything on myself. But it just seems that when I made these scrubs in the blender with the ormus and all these ormus foods, that's when I go back to it and try to use it more in moderation. I think it was a good thing. I just overdid it.
Yeah, you sound okay now.
Thanks.
Well, you know, I think it takes a certain amount of sensitivity in order to create your own products, and it is an art of creation. And, you know, an inspiration. And then, so because you're sensitive, makes it difficult to do it in any quantity. I know that hinders a lot of my work is because of my sensitivity.
Yeah.
But it also is it's a curse and a blessing, as a monk would say. No, nobody gets that, okay.
So, Barry, could you explain the blender? And maybe what was happening there? Why did this become so powerful, this scrub that I made, so powerful?
Okay, well, what we think is maybe going on, we're not sure, this is just theory, is we think that the ormus is doing its thing by being in spin coherence. So you've got a lot of little vortices, the vortices of, let's say, the ormus elements, spinning coherently. They're like ballet dancers.
Mm-hmm.
They're spinning, a whole bunch of ballet dancers all spinning on the ice at the same time, or ice ballet. And when they start spinning, they swing their arms, and then they bring their arms in as they go into the spin. And bringing their arms in, they spin faster. Well, that arms brought in thing is the ormus stuff, because those arms are no longer reaching out so that they can touch somebody else. They're all self-contained, and that puts it into the high spin state. So they're spinning very fast, and they're spinning very coherently, so they're all spinning in the same dimension at the same time, you know, with the same up and down. Well, the blender is spinning them in that coherent spin. But there's a lot of little vortices in there as well. And it's spinning them in relation to a magnetic field. And the magnetic field is also energizing. And there's a whole lot of different ways to energize. We think that maybe even nuclear radiation can energize them. But if you get them spinning too fast, it's not good.
And do you think that's what I'm getting too fast? No.
Probably it's just you ramped it up too fast in terms of what you were doing. With a magnetic blender, you do it for maybe 3 minutes.
Mm.
And a magnetic blender is just an ordinary blender that you've stuck magnets on the outside of. And you have, you can do a magnetic blender with any, even refrigerator magnets. But if you want to do a real good one, you put north-south, up and down, and then north-south, all the way around, so that you've got 16 magnets, four different sides, all opposing each other. That's the way Dr. Toussaint has his magnets. And he sells these blenders, and his blenders that he sells are probably a little bit better designed than the ones that there are plans for on the Internet. There are plans on my website.
Well, it's a lot more expensive.
So, Barry, do you think I could put the oils in the blender after I mix up my skin oils, put them in the blender, and that would strengthen it more?
I don't see why
more?
Not.
Though there's already ormus in there, what does it do when you put an ormus mixture into a magnetic blender?
Well, what you're doing is you're revving it up. You're charging it up. And as Sharon mentioned,
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what it does. It makes your makes the lid of the blender levitate.
It made me levitate.
Don't do it for very long. If you want a quick demonstration of how you can do, you put stuff in the blender for too long, it'll actually de-ormit it. Just put some grape juice in a blender and blend it for like 5 minutes, and the grape juice will taste terrible. Mm-hmm. If you put it in the blender for too long, it'll have the reverse effect. So it's like a spiky scale. It goes up and then straight down the other side.
That's a very good example, yeah. So there's a great element of intuition here. Dennis is charging his product up as much as he can, but he doesn't want to overcharge it. And so he's got to be aware of his charging her product up and using it to an extent, but you've got to be aware of how much is too much.
Mm.
And, you know, that's, and how much is too much depends on how charged it is. So these are very, very important things to talk about.
I also had another interesting mixture I put in the blender. I made a facial mask. I made face masks with mud. Korea is really famous for its mud, and they have a mud festival every year where people come from all over the world to play in the mud for several days. And so I thought, well, I'm in Korea. I need to experiment with the mud. So I put mud and turmeric and cinnamon, which actually Sharon, you mentioned, is we have to be careful with. And yes, and cloves. And you also mentioned we need to be careful with cloves. I put those in too, and even a little bit of clay. And then I put ormus in. And again, I used a little ormus, like with the salt-based ormus, and a little bit of trap water. I found the trap water that Thomas Gekker makes is quite nice for skin because it has a very soft feeling to it. I think people like that soft feeling when they're putting products on their skin. So I mixed that all up in the blender, and that made a wonderful mask. It was kind of an earthy feeling. So I was wondering, what about mud? Is mud, on occasion, an ormus-rich product?
Yeah, absolutely. I think ormus is in almost everything in the earth. And I'm almost certain that it's in all of the air we breathe, and I'm almost certain that it's in all of the water, even distilled water. So it's more a matter of the amount of concentration and the amount of energy that's in it. Those are the big factors as to whether we feel it or not. And when we work with it, it's good to keep those things in mind.
And I gave that particular product to a group of ladies that were living together, about 10 ladies living together, and they were all using it. Mm-hmm. And they just said that they had enormous results in terms of their skin, their fit, yeah. They said their skin really smoothed out.
Do you have any before and after pictures?
Yeah. I'm afraid to show you the before. The before are a little scary, at least mine. I don't have pictures of other people.
Uh-huh. Why are the before pictures scary?
Because I was so toxic when I started out. And I have this one picture. My face is so swollen. You could see, like, the patches of toxicity in different parts of my face. And then I was using sort of a clay mixture for three days.
That's so wonderful.
And I looked like a completely different person. Like I lost 20 years.
Oh, I'd love to put those pictures up.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, Melanie, you have to do it.
Well, okay, well, I'll send them to you, but what's so remarkable is the amount of time between the two pictures was just not even a week.
Wow.
You know, three or four days.
Oh,
and wow. I look like the 40-year-old woman I am in the first picture. In the next photo, everybody who thinks I look like I'm in my 20s in this photo. So I can't say I look like I'm in my 20s just in this particular photo. Because of the drastic contrast.
Okay, that's lovely. That's absolutely lovely.
You got Melanie.
But that was
Melanie, you got very excited now.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Photos. Very likes to watch.
Dennis, are we going to get to question and answers?
Yeah. Well, let's have some Q and A's. Who wants to ask any questions to Sharon or Melanie or even Barry?
Well, let's let somebody from the free room ask a question first. Anybody in the free room wants to ask a question?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question.
Hi, it's Jill. Can you hear me?
Okay, we've got two people. Are both of you from the free room?
Yes. I am.
Okay. Go ahead, the first person, not Jill.
Okay. This is Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Is this for Sharon?
Okay.
Hi there. Okay. I was listening.
Yes.
I only caught just the last half hour of this. I just was, contacted by a friend. I'm sorry I missed it. But I was really interested in if you're going to put together a protocol and you're going to do this like for a condition, and there's a lot of internal heat within the person because of a condition, would you then be able to use those heating oils topically? I know that you couldn't ingest them, but could you use them topically if you were to use some simultaneous cooling oils with them? In other words, if the heating oils were very beneficial for the condition, but there was too much internal heat, could you then combine them with cooling oils and use them topically with a carrier oil?
I'm not sure that I can just give you an opinion, and I can't validate that opinion with anything, but it sounds like you are a healer. You've had some experience working with essential oils, and sounds like you're going to use them topically. Just remember, now, if you haven't gotten my guide, I'm going to give you the website one more time. It's subtleenergies.com/ormus/pw/essentialoils.htm.
You went a little bit too
okay.
fast. Subtleenergies.com.
Yes, /ormus. That's ORMUS.
Uh-huh.
/pw/essentialoils.
Uh-huh.
.htm. Now, this is a guide that I put together. You'll probably find that it corresponds pretty well with other guides that you've seen. One of the things that you'll also find in there is that any particular oil that I could research that I could determine had either monoterpenes, sesquiterpenes, or phenols in it, I identified that oil had those particular compounds. Or some group of those particular chemicals. Phenols will be the ones that cause a lot of heat. Monoterpenes are the ones that, as Barry put it, how did you say it, Barry? Do you remember?
No.
Oh, darn. Okay. So the phenols will detoxify. They're very hot. All of the hot oils have phenols in them. And you don't want to cause a body a toxic body to take a lot of phenols. I don't care how good it is addressing the particular condition that you're after. You can't go beyond the person's ability to detox. But the monoterpenes are the ones that regenerate. Okay, so if you want a cooling oil, the monoterpenes, any ones with the monoterpenes. Now, what I like to do when I'm working with a toxic person is find a blend or find a particular oil that has all three of those chemicals. That would be the phenols, sesquiterpenes, and monoterpenes. And, of course, lavender, frankincense, a lot of the old standbys, tea tree oil, have all three of these categories. And they make a nice rounded essential oil. And did I answer your question?
Yeah, and so just one other little bit here. If you that did answer my question. So basically, what you're saying is you would have to balance some of the cooling oils with the heating oils if you were dealing with a toxic person. It would be the only one.
That's correct.
And the second and the other thing that I just wanted to add is if there is a system with the lymphatic system being blocked, in other words, for whatever reason, whether it's a meridian issue or the lymphatic system is congested, if you were to put on a topical application, would you use the same principle of mixing the heating and the cooling?
I don't think in terms of cleansing the lymph system with either heating and cooling. My favorite oil for the lymph system across the board is grapefruit oil. And that really cleanses. It is high monoterpenes. Grapefruit oil is high in monoterpenes. No phenols at all, but it is a really great decongestant. And I do consume grapefruit oil. I never put anything directly on my tongue, but fill up a capsule. So I used to be prone to migraines, and I found that drinking grapefruit juice, applying grapefruit oil to the back of my neck, and putting grapefruit oil in a capsule and taking that, I could get a full-blown migraine that had already progressed to the point where I could not handle any light. I could get within 3 hours. I could get rid of a migraine headache.
Wow,
that's great.
That's worth the whole call.
Could I just mention one thing about grapefruit oil and citrus oils in general? This is Arlene. You can have some photosensitivity when using them topically. So
that's true.
And I know that from a past experience. And I think that is partly one of the reasons why some of the citrus oils are not used as far as, you know, lotions and things go for sale or, you know, for products that are out there because of that photosensitivity, because smaller child or someone who is more sensitive who has, I don't even think you have to have fair skin, can, you know, have a real reaction when going out in the sun. I happen to use a product which I don't think they have on the market anymore. It was called something Naturals. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it did have grapefruit essential oil in it, and I got a very light sprinkly rash, almost like a prickly heat, just in the areas that were exposed to the sun. And that was, a shampoo and soap. But I've had a lot of good success using essential oils myself. And what another thing that you can do also is if you make an oil, you could add some vitamin E to it, and that will help lessen the breakdown of the oil and help it.
Well, that's a good point.
Help
that's
it,
a really good point.
Not
thank
become
you.
Rancid.
Yes, thank you. So
the vitamin
maybe
E
that would help.
Antioxidant.
Yeah, it functions to stabilize the oil.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And since I've learned Barry's method also, I've been using my wet method Ormus that I make. I just put it directly into my hand and body lotion, which I get one from the health food store, but now I'm thinking that it might be my mission to start making something for my own skin from scratch for myself. I have made the grapeseed with the Celtic sea salt, and that seems to help. I mix that in with my wet method Ormus, too, and surprisingly, is it Melanie or Melody?
Melanie.
Melanie, as you mm-hmm. said, I just put it in and shake it up also. I didn't do anything special. And the only thing is that you know, if you have it left overnight or if you don't use it for a day or two, you will the water will separate out of the mixture. You know, but I haven't noticed any problem with it. I happen to like Sikh Virtus Ormus products also for the skin. And actually, Gary Nelly's mineral powder, I had used his Lotion of Life, but then I found out that I was allergic to a lot of the paraben group, which can be in a lot of the lotions and creams that are just on the market. But I purchased his mineral powder and just mixed that right in with my lotion, too. It's And that's helped a great deal also. And now that I'm making my own, it's just like,
I've been in heaven.
That,
I think that that's the way Chaz makes some of his products,
You're doing a full body massage with a grapefruit seed. What percentage of carrier as opposed to...
No, it's not grapefruit seed. It's grape seed oil.
I'm sorry, I wasn't asking you the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I thought you would finish. I was asking Sharon the percentage of the carrier oil with the grapefruit aromatherapy.
Grapefruit, I don't really know a percentage, but you don't want to get... have you taken any essential oil classes?
Yeah,
or studied essential oils?
I took a biomedical class. I was just curious. I didn't take it for professional reasons.
Okay, so you really need to have some training or study it in some way, but you would never put these essential oils all over the body in a neat fashion. That would be neat, would be straight fashion. In terms of, I would think that a safe application, and this is just me off the top of my head, for just about any person would be about 5 drops. And so if you want to identify how much body oil that you're going to use, and then you add the 5 drops, and that would be very low dose, and you can do it that way and build up. But without knowing the application, so basically, it's a very big topic how to apply essential oils. If you're going to do it on yourself, of course you get a sense of what you can handle, what you can't handle. So you know, just think of 5 drops as being probably maximum for most people. Less than that if you're using a hot oil. If you want to know what the hot oils are, go to that site that I gave, and hot, really hot oils are anything with phenols. So if you want to stay with a safe oil, you go to the ones that have either. Okay, go ahead. So stay to the monoterpenes or sesquiterpene oils would be the safer ones. And I really I can't advise too much beyond that because I'm just a knowledgeable layperson. I'm not a professional. Any other questions?
Is there one more question from the free room?
Hi, it's Jill. I think some of the answer were contraindications of certain scents with certain conditions, and if there were, for instance, like high blood pressure, and if you could say something else about basil, because I've had it successfully help my headaches. And thank you, Melanie, for the thing about grapefruit oil, grapefruit scent.
That was Sharon.
Okay.
Sharon, thank you, Sharon, for
Well, you're welcome. So, Jill, you wanted to know about high blood pressure. Is that what I understand?
Well, I just want to know, are there certain things that you shouldn't use certain scents with? Because I heard something about how strong basil is, and licorice, for instance, is bad for high blood pressure. Is there any essential oils that are bad for certain conditions?
The first thing that I tell people to do is go to your local health food store and smell as many essential oils as you can. Now bring with you in your purse a little bag of coffee, either coffee beans or ground coffee, and because that's how you cleanse your palate. So So you could smell like, you know, two or three, four essential oils, and then sniff your coffee bag. Keep that, keep your little a book, you know, a little tablet with you. Write down the oils that you like that really seem to make your body stand up and say, whoopee, and write those down. Now go to the essential oil guide, the digest that is on Barry's site, and find out what these things are for. Now, if you see that some of them are you know, help high blood pressure, or now you will not find in my particular digest, the one that's on Barry's site, very much written about the precautions. And that is because many of the precautions are oftentimes overstated. Precautions are also oftentimes designed not for the aromatherapist, that would be the person who actually just smells it, and they might be designed for people who apply essential oils to their body, but still you're probably not going to put yourself into a physical problem just through application. But really the precautions are designed for people who consume essential oils. So you do want to go and to the internet and find what precautions are what. You might find of the essential oils that you like, you may find that, I think that basil is constricting of blood vessels, okay? Is that, is it constricting? I'm looking here. You know what is constricting is lemongrass. And maybe lemongrass, and maybe I've got it backwards, it's not constricting, it opens up the blood vessels. Oh, it's a vasodilator. Lemongrass is a vasodilator. Now, if that's a good thing for your condition, great. But if for somebody who has migraines, you don't necessarily want a vasodilator. But you know what happens? If you are somebody who's prone to migraine headaches, you probably won't like lemongrass. That's usually what happens. If you've got a heart problem, a heart condition, you probably won't like the oils that might be a problem. So if you follow this formula, it's an empowering way to take charge rather than keep going to and then do the follow-up research. Okay?
Mm-hmm. What about putting clay in your mixture, Melanie?
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about putting clay in mud. What about mm-hmm. bentonite? Just got some of that.
Yes, I've used bentonite also. I've used many kinds of clays and muds. I talked to Michael King was on the call last time, and he works with clay, and his company's Pyroclay. I think it's pyroclay.com is the website. And I asked him about bentonite, and he said bentonite was good, but it's not necessarily the best clay. There are better clays that he recommends. But bentonite's the most widely used clay.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Jill, are you still on?
Who? This is Dorothy. I have a question. I can't remember if it was Sharon or Melanie that mentioned using, is it the grapefruit oil for migraine?
That was Sharon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you either repeat that or send me an email with that recipe?
It's very simple.
Thank you.
My migraines were triggered from the lymphatic system, and so when my lymph was too congested, I could almost count on getting a migraine anytime I got excessively dehydrated. Anyway, mm-hmm. What I did is I put about I'd say 4 or 5 drops of grapefruit oil. On the back of my neck, and I would put, I found that I could take a full capsule full of essential oil grapefruit in a capsule and consume that. Other people might want to start off with, I always recommend people start off with 3 drops, go up to, you know, 6,
and then so on and so forth if we're talking about consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing that I would do is I would buy grapefruit juice, and I would dilute it about half and half and start drinking grapefruit juice. In 3 hours, I could consistently knock out a migraine headache.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, especially the comment about progressed migraines, because those are the ones I really dread. So I try to stay on top of it, and I've been using a mix of things, but anything that will help with migraines, I want to try.
Well, would you let me know if it did help, and do you know my email address?
I do. Yeah, I've got it, and thank you.
That would be wonderful if you would write back sometime and let me know if you tried the recipe and if it worked or not.
Yes. And I love the comments that were just made about checking what you're attracted to and then going and doing the research, because I've become convinced over my own healing path in the last few years that our bodies are like tuning forks. They will tell us the truth. Our minds can lie to our bodies, but our bodies will not lie to our minds, because they are the temple of our soul. And I'm truly convinced of this, and I find validation for it constantly, whether I'm doing energy work or, you know, a psychic reading for someone, that I know when a situation is unhealthy because of how I feel physically. I know if something is going to work, because my energy will either rise or it will fall. And it tells me the truth consistently. It guides me. And
the more Ormus that you take, the better that feedback system will work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think John Hudson knew this. And we corresponded on this a couple of times, and how...
Yeah.
Very powerful it was. And I was curious about power of intention in creating Ormus products, and I was glad that was addressed too. And I had one question. Have any of you used the succussion method in making ointments or oils? Because that's been mentioned in a couple of calls.
Dennis is a big proponent
right.
of that. I have not done it. I don't really know how to. I feel inadequate.
Okay. So you haven't used it?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's good to know. But you do find power of intention is critical for what you're doing, right?
What was the name of that method?
Just the power of intention. That's the most... Okay, thank you.
Yes,
from my point of view, intention trumps all the other methodologies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Whatever methodology you've got, you add intention to it, you can multiply it many times.
Yeah.
It's effective.
That's how I've used Ormus. That's how I've used the great yields from my plants. It was about intention. Whether I'm animal whispering, or I'm working with traumatized humans or plants, it's the intention, I think, that is everything.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
And the next question is, how do you get your intention expressed? And every environment seems to have different ways that you can get that intention to be more active. Ormus, for instance, I tell my Ormus what its potentials are. I tell it what its conditions are. I tell it what its properties are, and it behaves that way.
Yeah.
You know, effectively, when you're making your own Ormus, you're birthing an Ormus. That Ormus thinks that it's your dad. I mean, you're its dad. And so I treat like Ormus like a little kid, and I tell it who it is and what it is and what it does, and it does it.
Yes. I would lay hands on my plants as a teenager, and I would tell them that they were beautiful and that they were going to grow strong and healthy, and they did. And I was living in Seattle and had like two walls of windows in a bungalow, and I grew tropical house plants. I mean, I had like 160 of them, and I was doing it so well I could sell some of them to the local nurseries.
Whoa.
And that was
wow.
That was all about, I think, directing and harnessing energy in a particular way and believing that it mattered.
That's a great story.
I always had terrific yields in my gardens, and that was long before I knew anything about ormus. So,
and the huge proponents of that are the Findhorn community in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They grow extraordinarily different varieties of huge plants using this methodology of intention.
That's very interesting, because I've been really attracted to Findhorn and didn't know why.
Dennis, can I piggyback the comments on intention to ask Barry a question? Would that be okay?
Go right ahead, Barry.
Okay.
You're on.
Barry, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things I've found when I'm making oils, an issue I've run into is when I buy oils in the store, I can feel sometimes they've picked up a negative frequency from maybe, you know, supermarkets in America now just seem to be full of electromagnetic frequencies. So I'll get these oils home and I want to change the frequency, but I don't really know how to do it. Mm-hmm. I've worked with intention. I'm now working with crystals, putting crystals in the oil. Mm-hmm. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I have a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
One, you can store the oil in a magnetite container.
Mm-hmm.
Another, you could run it in a magnetic blender.
Uh-huh.
Because the magnetic blender seems to overwhelm any frequency that may be stored in it. So just briefly run it in a magnetic blender and then mix your ormus with it and then impress it with your own intention.
Okay, great. What about the crystals? I mean, do you think crystals, can they be effective in changing the frequency?
It very much seems that that's the case. A lot of people have reported, well, of course, the magnetite is a crystalline structure. And ormus itself seems to engender crystalline structures. It seems to be the key to the snowflake shapes and so on that occur with water. And I think that anything that resonates with that is gonna give that crystalline energy to it.
Mm. I'd also add that John Hudson's call that was from, he talked about using, about dowsing and obtaining frequencies to change the properties of another thing.
I've tried too. That works.
The link was posted, I think Dennis or Barry posted it about 10 days ago, and I listened to that call and I learned a great deal from it, and I think it might be directly relevant to your question about the oils.
Oh, that you can douse. You can douse right over the oil or the product.
I'd say listen to the call, and you can find out the method. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if you're a strongly intuitive person, you can just go directly to the power of intention, but you can also use, you know, John's method of dowsing, which maybe came from Barry or from Dennis, but use that method and obtain the frequency that you need to change something, and then use that and the power of intention and instruct it as to how it's to be used and how it's to behave, and you can certainly find a frequency for removing a negative charge or negative energies from an object. I firmly believe that.
Great.
And I've also experimented with crystals and other things, but I would use that method because I think it's applicable to anything.
Very good.
Could I answer the question about the crystals? Because I have worked with them before. This is Arlene. Certain crystals do have the ability to remove negativity from something. The most common one is citrine. And that can remove negativity from your field. Also, calcite can remove negativity from a person's auric field. Holding it either in your hands or over, you know, each chakra. And also the generator points, which are the crystals that have a generator point is six-sided, and all the points come together, all the facets come together to the one point. Those particular crystals are very good for using them to direct the energy out of the energy field, just holding them in your hands or placing them around the body or whatever it is you're trying to, you know, if you face the crystal point away from the object, that will direct the energy out. And tourmaline, particularly black tourmaline, is also good for removing negativity. There is a book, it's called Love is in the Earth, and the author, her name is Melody, I think, with a Y. She's one of my favorite crystal guides.
Yeah, now in the oils that I make, I always leave crystals in the bottle chosen for them. And I choose crystals based on the qualities that person is wanting to attract into their life.
Oh, yeah.
That's excellent.
Very good.
Very neat.
Hey, yeah. Speaking of attracting things into our lives, I have the winners of this month's raffle. And,
tell us what we're getting.
It's here.
Yeah.
What are we getting, Melanie?
What I was talking about, one of the oils that some of the oils I make now, if whoever wins, I'll ask you a few questions about things you're wanting to attract into your life or issues you're trying to work on. I'll look up the appropriate crystals, and I live near a crystal warehouse, so I'll go pick them up, and I'll mix up some oil for you. And I'll choose the essential oils also based on the answers to the questions.
And how many
that's
do we
what?
Have?
They're going to be personally made, Mel.
Yes, tailor made.
And how many winners?
Is that a question for me, or is that a question for dinner? Oh, for me? I'll make up at least five.
Five?
Yes.
Wow, that's very generous.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Barry, I am in the raffle, aren't I?
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Okay.
I'm in the raffle too, right?
I've only thrown the dice for three so far, but I'll do one more.
So we're all sitting with bated breath here.
The winners are Gordon, Richard,
okay.
Our friend Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Yeah. Julian, Glenn. So most of the winners are men.
How do they find out their winners? Do you post on the website?
I'll send you their name.
Oh, okay, and then I can contact them.
Their emails, yeah.
All right.
Well, that was very generous. Thank you, Melanie, for offering the prize for this call.
Sure.
Thank you, Melanie and Sharon, for all that you've shared.
Hi.
I may quickly ask a question. It's Gita here.
Gita? Rita.
Yes. Gita with a J. J-I-T-A.
Oh, Gita.
Gita. Yeah. I'm calling from England.
Sounds like it.
Great.
Okay, you mentioned Trap Water by Thomas, was it Decker or Grecker?
Geckler, G-E-C-K-L-E-R.
Is that D for donkey? D?
G is in God. G is in God, Geckler.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like gecko with a Geckler, L-E-R at the end.
Okay, and you also said Sikh Veda.
Yeah.
He spelled
Yeah. Thomas Dickman's site is www.cherokeegold.com.
Is it on Cherokee Gold?
CherokeeGold.com is Thomas's website. And the Sikh Verda's website is TibetanGold.com.
Yeah.
TibetanGold.com. And which company do you recommend?
Sharon?
Yes, certainly. But I don't know. Well, I guess you can, you know, get them shipped overseas. I'll tell you what. We had talked about Melanie had mentioned how she had picked up oils in the store and the energy wasn't good. The essential oil company that I like to use is a wholesale company. It doesn't mean that you can't buy, that anyone can't buy from them, but he will ask for, you know, tax ID in order to avoid the taxes.
It's not an issue when she's in England.
Yes, I don't know what to tell her, but that would be
find a friend.
The website is White Lotus Aromatics. WhiteLotusAromatics.com. Now, the reason that I like this company is you have to buy $100 worth of product, a minimum of $100. It's very easy to do, though, by the way. Not that the oils are expensive, but that there's so much variety available. And he gets a good deal of his oils from something that's called an aromatic harvest, which is a grassroots program primarily in India, you know, in the Himalayan mountains. And the grassroots program puts the farmers back into being able to grow the things that they want to grow rather than being dictated what they grow according to the financial climate. Today, we, you know, this year the seed sellers are you know, dictating that you have to grow cotton or grow corn or grow wheat or rice. But the aromatic harvest says, you know, we can take your product, your harvest to the distillers, and then we can wholesale it, and we have buyers for you. When there's that much love going, into the soil, the harvest has got love infused. So that Ormus intent gets started from the growth of the plants and is carried on through. When I get the oils as a consumer from the White Lotus Aromatics, they are infused with high-quality Ormus in them. Now, not all of the oils that are sold on this particular website come from the this particular grassroots program, but the people who wholesale it, or I should say import them, they're out of Washington State. These people have a tremendous amount of spirituality, and all of their oils then take on this particular vibration. So even oils that come from France, from conventionally grown, you know, high-intensity productions, they are then transmuted. They get this wonderful high vibration. So I don't know how you're going to get this to England, but if
do
you can find a way,
that is
the one that I would recommend.
Chita, this is Dorsey in Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
I have a friend who camps on my land, and he has a wholesaler's license, and we're in Washington State. So if you we can get in touch after the call, maybe. And Barry's got my email. And if you make a list of what you want from the site, I can help you get it and get it shipped to you. Okay?
What's your name, sorry?
I'm Dorsey, D-O-R-S-I-E, Dorsey Hathaway. I'm in Vancouver, Washington.
Send me an email and I'll forward the info.
Yeah, either Barry or Sharon know how to reach me, so And I can help you with an order because I know I'll want to place one after talking after this call. So I'll help you with that.
Oh, brilliant. And one final thing. I've got acne pockmarks, and you mentioned that
Yes, that was just from that. The change in my skin happened really quickly, and that was just from taking Ormus. And the first product I did take was from Tibetan Gold, but I find all the Ormus products I take have amazing effects on my skin. And I guess the success, there's even more success now that I'm mixing it with good essential oils and crystals and adding intention and all these other things to it. I'm having better success.
So it was Tibetan Gold, you said?
Yeah, TibetanGold.com is where I first got Ormus from. And you can actually contact, he's in Hong Kong, and you can actually contact Siegfried and just tell him, you know, I have pockmarks, I'm wanting to work on my skin, because he has a number of kinds of Ormus, and he'll be able to maybe recommend which one would be good for you.
Right, okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're pretty much out of time, so one last question, we'll wrap this lady up.
Thank you so much to everyone who made this happen.
Thank you.
All right, well, that was a really wonderful call. Melanie, you're very impressive.
You're fascinating.
Yes, yes. Good call, Dennis. Good call.
Yes.
Good call, Melanie. This is Richard from Vancouver Island. And I have about a gazillion questions.
You're one of the raffle winners, right?
Never the last question.
I think it's probably Richard from New York, I hope. That's
different Richard.
Oh.
Because I'm going to buy some anyway.
Okay. So what's your question?
I'm working with drug toxicity here, and I was just wondering if you had any suggestions as to what would work well for somebody who's trying to get off narcotic drug.
I believe that the M3, it works very well from the reports that I've heard. And there are, if you're on any of the forums and you don't mind sharing, I mean, apparently, you know, you feel comfortable enough to share on this call, contact people on the forums and ask them. But I've heard that M3 is very good at that. In terms of essential oils, go to that site that, you know, my guide, and you're going to find that certain oils are known for their detox ability. I can give you a list. Let's see, I have it here. Antitoxic, well, two of them. I only have two of them, black cumin and juniper. Grapefruit is also very good as a detoxer. Fennel, juniper, and grapefruit oil. I made a blend out of those three, and you can do equal parts for this particular blend. That would be fennel, juniper, and grapefruit. They're not very expensive essential oils. And you can use that topically. You can also use grapefruit, you know, to consume in terms of grapefruit juice.
Uh-huh.
And then the black cumin is actually something that you can consume. Now, I do believe that the black cumin that is offered on the White Lotus Aromatics website, you have to go into their CO2 extractions. You're not going to find black cumin as a regular essential oil. So you tap their menu item. It says CO2 extractions. And you come down, and I think it's under B for black cumin. Maybe it's cumin black. Cumin black. And you can buy, it's a Nigella sisters. Use it in the capsule. Black cumin has a reputation that says the reputation is it will cure anything but death. That's a pretty high reputation. And I do,
I do feel
that black cumin is a safe essential oil. It's CO2, but basically essential oil to consume. But you might want to do some reading on that if you have any concerns. And I would do it by the capsule full, 3 times a day. So those are my recommendations. That would be for a topical would be juniper, fennel, and grapefruit for topical, black cumin for consumption, and then the M3.
Can I ask a question?
Is available by Joe Lello. Joe Lello of AtlantisAlchemy.com makes a good M3.
Yes, I know Joe, yes. And I'm planning on getting some from him. I was attempting to make it, but I've had a little bit of a construction disaster in my lab. We got flooded out, so I lost quite a bit of stuff.
When you talk about drug toxicity, are you talking about helping someone to get off the drugs, to break the addiction, or to has the person already gotten off of drugs and now trying to detox?
All of the above.
Okay.
This person is on and off narcotics thanks to our medical system, which
yes,
they're using it to control her blood pressure.
Oh.
And, I can successfully control it in other ways, but the doctors don't like it.
Okay.
But, I think the basic program would consist of a combination of things that the doctor won't object to.
Okay.
So I'm doing a bit of a balancing act here, and it's not something I'm upset or anything that I have any questions even about. But I'm exploring avenues right now to, to attack it on several different sides and with
yeah.
a whole lot of horsepower.
That's
and
the thing with
MC.
Drugs, it's a multi-layer approach. You know, there's so many different things a person needs to be doing. And I don't know about the particular drugs you're talking about, but often getting off a drug, when you go to a hospital and you're treated for drugs or get treated for addiction, you not only have to sedate the people. I mean, that's what the hospitals do. They sedate the person getting off of drugs, but they also do something for depression that arises when somebody's getting off of drugs.
Mm.
And that's another issue.
Drugs.
What was
that's
that?
That's right. I know that system very well.
It takes some more drugs.
Dennis is absolutely right. It consists of more drugs, and the drugs that they substitute for the narcotics are harder to get off than the narcotics themselves.
Yes. That's
yeah.
true, but there are things that people can do to naturally to help them through that depressed state, and maybe I can just post something on it because I have had experience with this.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
But it's a multi-level approach.
Yeah, and I find
that too.
I find that the shotgun approach usually works well and for a lot of things, and generally. If you're really determined and you're going to put everything in your towards it, the intent usually is increased as well.
So I'll put something in the next 2 days about that.
Quite
okay,
a few
I'll
people,
be watching for it.
And the Ormus connection. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Quite a few people have noted that Ormus helps make it easier to get off of substances that they want to get off of.
Yeah, I have actually noticed that myself.
Yeah.
I used to work in a rehab facility and with dual diagnosis clients and addiction. And one thing, I also have studied pain nursing, pain management at length. And one of the things that's really important is if someone's trying to detox, is that they detox by the same, like when they're cutting down, is that they decrease the drug by the same percentage on each change. And one of the problems with the medical establishment is they tend to think in terms of math, but they're not actually doing the math that would help them understand why someone can go maybe 4 weeks and they're fine, and then at the fifth week they hit a crisis. And the problem is that with each decrease, if they're saying, well, take half, then take half, then take half, there's a larger jump in the difference. And I helped a friend break volume dependency by going with the same percentage drop each time rather than, you know, having the tablets. So that's something also to consider.
Yeah, I've noticed exactly what you're talking about. And,
I mean, it's just common sense, but doctors don't always work in that realm. So, you know.
Well, a lot of the medications that the hospital uses, they seem to have a more or less standard protocol, or one or two standard protocols, and every single time this person gets on it, the pain levels go up.
Well, so, and some of the things that they
back.
Use...
First, when her pain goes up, her blood pressure goes up, and when that happens, everything starts to fall apart again.
And some of the things that they prescribe commonly, they don't actually understand. They're giving people narcotic compounds that contain an agonist and an antagonist. And what happens is, then with increasing doses, people need more, and they're getting less pain relief. If you stick with a straight agonist, you don't get that effect. And doctors are taught this, but they don't remember it. And I was taught it, and I've seen it, and I've experienced it. And I think it's an important difference to just go with a straight agonist. If you have to take opioids, go with an opioid agonist, not a compound agonist antagonist, because what you'll get out of that is something that acts like addiction. And it's not necessarily addiction. It's a natural consequence of using a drug that is supposed to have one effect and yet opposes it. It's just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not thinking that way. So I would suggest looking into that.
I'm looking into everything I can right now. That's very common in the medical profession for sure, because
You're welcome to get my phone number or email from Barry.
Yeah,
he can share my phone number with anybody, and I'll be willing to talk more about that and what can help someone to
make sure you send.
Sorry, what was your name?
Oh yeah,
and oh, from Washington State.
Yeah, Vancouver, Washington.
Okay, that's okay.
And anyone's welcome to contact me with questions. And Barry can share my phone
number. That was a lovely contribution. So I'm going to wind it up now, guys. So what I'd like you to do is just tell us your name and say goodbye as we sign
off. Everybody left?
Nobody's ready to quit yet.
Okay, I'm ready to quit. So this is Sharon. I'm saying adios, everybody.
Bye, Sharon. Thank you so much.
Adios, Sharon. That was wonderful.
Thank you for putting us all together.
This was a really great call.
Oh, good.
Great.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis, for putting us all together last minute from the middle of nowhere.
Yes, absolutely.
And Mel, do you have a cell phone these days?
I do, but I just got it, so I have to go look at the number.
And you actually use it?
Yeah, I can use it now. Yes, I can. Yes, that's another story. Why?
Yeah.
As long as you
just use it for 3 minutes at a time, you're probably okay.
I think a combination of just, I believe, raising my own personal vibration through lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the clay that Michael King sells, I was doing 2 clay baths a day, and I noticed an enormous change in my being able to handle EMF.
Oh, yeah.
So I can handle everything better.
Oh, great.
I really think that clay is really a real powerful thing.
Grounding.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yes. For the first week I was using his clay, all this black stuff was coming out of the bathtub, and I looked it up, and it said that it's heavy metal. If you have black coming out, mm-hmm. that it's heavy metals oxidizing.
Right.
So I had that. And finally, the black stuff quit coming out.
There you go.
Very good.
Very good.
Okay. Well, Dennis, are you there?
Yeah, nope, he's gone. Phone number.
My phone number? Yeah. I have to look it up because I just got the cell phone and
seven,
I don't 702? Remember.
702?
Yes, that's it. That's it. You can 702 see it.
702-418-4489.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you for telling me my phone number.
702-418-4489?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks, you guys, and I'll send you guys I'll send you guys some oils that I make up too when I'm making them up for everybody else.
Great.
If you don't mind me sending you a little interview.
I would love you, sir. I'd love to have some.
Okay. So
please,
I'll just write some
questions.
I'll be
happy to pay for them.
Oh no! I don't sell them. I'm I just do it for fun.
Well,
okay.
And trade then.
That, who was that just said that I can send it to you? Oh, who was that?
That was Richard.
Oh, Richard. Okay. All right. Well, if you can get, I guess maybe you can see my email on a forum, on a list, and you can email me. I'll send you some too.
Send her some of your Vortex.
I'll do that. I'm still wondering about it because you've got to collect that water right bang on the right part of the tide, and I get hugely varying results from it. Sometimes I get a gallon out of 5 gallons, and sometimes I get about a half a liter to a liter.
Wow.
It's all pretty good, but I mean it's the stuff that you get the large production out of is always better.
Yeah.
It just kind of works that way. So I'm still trying to put this one down because it's really it's not something that's consistent, and I can't quite figure out where the consistency is in it.
And now you would particularly enjoy, I think, hearing Richard's conference call when Richard was a guest about 6 or 8 weeks ago.
Oh, no, I didn't hear it. What was that about?
And, well, if you remind me, I'll send you the link to it.
Okay, I will.
You can just have a listen.
Yeah.
It was just a way that I used to find things in the anywhere for that matter. You can, it's sort of a field detection method, and all you do is you just wherever you feel good, that's where your products are. That's where the things that you need are, and it's really it's really simple to learn. And you've probably have walked around in nature, and there's just some of those places that are just, they have this magical quality. Start looking around. There's plants. There's minerals. There's things there that are what your body needs.
Oh, really?
That's what it's doing. It's telling you. It's lifting your spirits. And when you sometimes it's as simple as looking at your feet. And I found myself standing in some mushrooms that I wasn't aware of, and I collected some samples and took them home and made tea out of them. Turns out they were a form of reishi that we have around here, and there's lots of them. And they're very medicinal, skin supporter. They're it's a form of reishi that grows on a tree on dead wood, and you probably know it as artist's conch. It's a wonderful medicinal. Have you ever seen those things? People like to draw on them because they have a nice white underbottom that's kind of hard. Mushroom will tell you what an artist's conch looks like, or you can look it up on the internet. You find them growing all over the trees, especially around Vancouver, Washington, because I'm not far from you as far as climate goes. We're about the same.
I'm in Las Vegas.
I think you'll enjoy that call, Mel.
Huh?
Oh, you're in Vegas.
You'll enjoy that.
Anywhere up in the mountains, go up towards South Lake Tahoe. There's trees there that'll have it on there. All kinds of them. Any place that has trees.
Vegas, yeah. They're trees. Some.
I guess we probably talked to you enough now, Dennis. I think we've probably talked to
you.
Dennis is probably, he's like me, he doesn't want to leave just in case there's another morsel.
Okay, well, Richard, right? Richard?
Yes, Richard.
Yes, so if you could just email me, we can communicate and exchange information
okay.
and products, whatever.
Okay, good. My email is randj, the number one, at telos.net.
Okay. I'll try that. I don't have a pen with me right now, so.
Yeah, RMJ, the number one, at telus.net.
Telus.
Actually, give me your email.
Yes, that's in Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver Island.
Okay, yeah. Telus, I know Telus is from that area.
Yeah.
Okay. So is everybody gone now?
No, there's still about six people on.
Oh, there's still six people here.
There's eight people
and
on.
And I just logged on.
Oh, no.
So are you ending?
We finished.
I know. I just had to at least get on, even if it was 4 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
So see you guys. I'm logging off, and I'm gone. I'm finished. I'm out of here. Adios.
Okay,
so,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
Sharon already gone?
Yes.
Sharon already gone?
Yes. Buddy, have a great day. If you have any questions, you can email me.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Bye.